It's 1:23 a.m. and we are wrapping up this year's Oscars. It was a big night for Best Picture winner Coda, as well as Jessica Chastain, Dune, Jane Campion, and more.
But the proceedings were overshadowed by an onstage altercation in which Best Actor winner Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are recapping the Oscars on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discovery Plus. How does it feel to chase a sports legacy, fight for justice, or compete in a competitive table-setting competition? On Discovery Plus, you can stream hundreds of human stories, from new originals like Werner Herzog's Last Exit Space to acclaimed masterpieces like RGB, Man on Wire, and Jiro Dreams of Sushi. It's the streaming home of documentaries, plus so much more. Discovery Plus. Start your free trial. Terms apply.
Here with Linda and me from his home studio is Glenn Weldon of NPR's Culture Desk. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Stephen.
And also here from her home is Aisha Harris. Hey, Aisha.
Hello, Stephen.
It is great to have you all here. So I would love to lead this discussion with a rundown of tonight's winners, but unfortunately, the lead item tonight came in the run-up to, of all things, the announcement of Best Documentary Feature. Chris Rock came out and made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right?
So we should note here that Jada Pinkett Smith lives with alopecia, which is a condition that causes hair loss. Both Jada Pinkett Smith and her husband Will Smith looked mad, and within seconds, Will Smith walked up to the stage and slapped Chris Rock.
I'm out here. Uh-oh, Richard. Oh, wow. Wow.
In the U.S. broadcast feed, the audio then cut out, but you can see Will Smith returning to his seat and yelling at Chris Rock to keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth, except he didn't say effing there. Rock was visibly shaken and then picked back up with presenting the award.
That was the greatest night in the history of television. Okay. Okay. So we are here to give a documentary out. To give an Oscar out for Best Documentary.
You can kind of split the night into before that incident and after, kind of cast a pall over certainly everything that came after it. And then later in the night, as many people expected, Will Smith did win Best Actor for his performance in King Richard. I guess we should talk about it.
Yeah, I found the beginning part of it just shocking. And then, you know, when Will Smith then won for Best Actor for King Richard, he got up on stage, he made a speech in which he kind of tried to reframe it as like, you know, I protect people I love, just like Richard Williams and, you know, who he played in King Richard. And it, the whole thing just seemed very upsetting to me. And I didn't like the joke that Rock had done previously about Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz, which was a little bit of like a wives, am I right? Kind of joke.
Mm-hmm. Javier Bardem and his wife are both nominated. Now, if she loses, he can't win.
Didn't like that either. But then, I mean, I'm sorry, but I think anybody who wasn't an incredibly famous person, if you get up on stage at a public event and you hit someone, they will escort you out. But they didn't or couldn't because he was about to win an Oscar. It was a bizarre, bizarre event to me. I just found it very, very sad, especially for like the other people who won. Questlove, mm-hmm. who won for Summer of Soul, which is such a joyful and wonderful movie. And that should have been a completely lovely moment for him and his team. And it was right after this happened. So everybody was still kind of humming and bumbling and shocked and everything. I don't know. It was upsetting.
There's so many layers to this. There's the fact that it seems like there's history between them because Chris Rock had previously made jokes several years ago during sort of the height of Oscars So White when a bunch of Black performers decided to boycott the Oscars, and Jada Pinkett Smith was one of them.
Jada's gonna boycott the Oscars. Jada boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited.
And so he made some cracks about her back then, and it seems like maybe that might have been at play here too. It wasn't just the comments. Again, no matter what context, it looks terrible. But what Will Smith did at the end of the day is like what people are afraid that Kanye might do if he were at the Grammys. Kanye has been banned from this year's Grammys because of his very disturbing behavior toward Kim Kardashian as well as Pete Davidson. In his speech, in Will Smith's speech, he says, "I look like the crazy father, just like they said about Richard Williams, mm-hmm. but love will make you do crazy things."
Oof. Art imitates life. I look like the crazy father, just like they said. I look like crazy father, just like they said about Richard Williams. But love will make you do crazy things.
What? Yeah. I'm sorry. The fact that he was allowed to stay there, to me, is like the most disturbing part of it. The fact that like Denzel and Tyler Perry apparently were like trying to like just have him brush it off. And look, I respect those men, but like, why is no one telling him you should not have done that? This isn't just about protecting your family. This is serious. This is bad. And it just makes me not excited for all the hot takes of people defending this. They're already defending it. If that was me and my partner ever did something like that, I would be deeply embarrassed and I would have left. And this does not portend well, I think, for how Hollywood and how the rest of society tends to treat these things. Like, how much has changed? I don't know. It's just really sad.
So a lot of us went into this evening expecting it would be a celebration of The Power of the Dog, which is an indictment, really, of toxic masculinity. But like, man, there was toxic masculinity all over that stage. Calls were coming from inside the house. We went into this thinking, well, there's not going to be another La La Land Moonlight thing. There's not going to be an Adele Dazeem moment. I did not have physical assault on the bingo card. And you're right, it did cast a pall, Stephen. But I would say, yes, it cast a pall forward in time. But I think that it was also a retroactive pall back in time. Troy Kotsur who? Ariana DeBose what? I mean, the air went out of the room. It was an unforgettable moment, which is what the Oscars desperately want every year, but in all the wrong ways for all the wrong reasons. A comedian got assaulted for telling a joke. And the joke in question, as we've already mentioned, was not a good joke. But then for Smith to attempt to couch it in the language of abuse, love makes you do crazy things, that moment was legit disturbing. And I'm trying to figure out what happens with that moment, because you could see it going one of two ways. Certainly the momentum of the Oscars and the momentum of the fact that they still carried on pretending like it didn't happen tells you that the Oscars want to treat this as maybe something for a highlight reel, you know? But I don't think it can or should. This isn't Jack Palance doing push-ups. This isn't Sally Field, "Do you like me? You really like me." This isn't that dude streaking behind David Niven. This is a crime. It's a crime that got shrugged off. And there's the moment, which was horrible. And then there's how the show dealt with the moment by not dealing with it. I mean, Amy Schumer told a joke.
Yeah, cracking jokes about it after the fact. And then at the end, he ends it with like, "I hope the Academy invites me back." Like, he didn't even actually apologize to Chris Rock. He just apologized to the Academy and to his fellow nominees. It's like, okay, so you're just apologizing to the people who you hope will, like, give you jobs or get you back at the Oscars next year. Yep.
Yeah, I dread the discourse that is already happening. And really, honestly, this just boils down to two thoughts that coexist perfectly fine in my mind, which is, one, Chris Rock should not have told that joke. That was a crappy, ableist joke. Uh-huh. Flip side, you just don't hit people. You don't hit people if it's a telecast being seen by hundreds of millions of people. You don't hit people if it's two people in a closed room in response to a joke. And yet the discourse that has come up already seems to hold those two thoughts in opposition.
Right.
And that is extremely frustrating. And obviously it speaks to a much larger point about discourse today and how difficult it is to hold kind of nuanced opinions on these things. But it was very frustrating. It was very depressing, and it overshadowed some satisfying moments.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't want to completely overshadow the actual Oscars that were handed out over the course of the night. The biggest winner of all was Coda, which won Best Picture. Glenn mentioned Troy Kotsur, who won for Best Supporting Actor. And Sean Hader, who directed the film, won Best Adapted Screenplay, which I think was a little bit unexpected. So the biggest prize of all did go to Coda. What did you guys think?
I love Coda. You guys know that. I was a fan of this film from when I saw it at Sundance. It warmed my heart. It made me feel, you know, happy and positive. I also think it is a film that is much more interestingly executed than it sometimes gets credit for. I think there are a few scenes that really round out these characters in a lovely way. I was really happy about Coda. I think I was as happy about Coda as I would have been about anything that realistically had a chance of winning.
Yeah, Coda's fine. I definitely liked it when I saw it at Sundance, but it was also not a movie that stuck with me. So once it started getting award season buzz, I was like, huh, okay. So There have been far worse Best Picture winners. This isn't even close to the bottom. I'm totally fine with it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was pulling for Power of the Dog, but, you know, Jane Campion got it for director, and that's fine with me. I do like Coda.
It's funny because I have long thought that La La Land was actually very lucky that it didn't actually win Best Picture, because I think it would have spent a lot of time being excoriated. And I think Coda in some ways might have been allowed to age better had it not won Best Picture. But right now, nobody is focused on that part of things. I mean, look, the thing we've already talked about took focus off of a lot of other things. Some of them good, some of them bad. The Academy's bizarre decision to get into the business of internet polls about which the less said, the better.
Just think, guys, we could be talking about Flash entering the Speed Force in Justice League and how it was the most cheer-worthy moment of the year.
That indelible cheer-worthy moment that I completely forgot about.
Well, Glenn did mention that Jane Campion won Best Director for Power of the Dog. That was the only win out of 12 nominations, which was surprisingly close to a shutout.
You could kind of tell that was happening once Dune started picking up technical awards like sound, visual effects, production design. It also won for film editing, original score, and cinematography. This is where the Academy tends to relegate science fiction films under these tech categories. I mean, when you saw it winning both editing and cinematography, that's when you started to get a sense that maybe it wasn't going to be a big night for Power of the Dog.
Yeah. I would say score as well. Score is not one of those ones where I feel like it's always the big special effects movie. I think there was some respect for the all-around filmmaking of this movie, even though it didn't extend to the director.
Why wasn't Denis Villeneuve nominated for Best Director?
It's weird. I've said this before, but I didn't expect to like that movie, and I kind of did. So I am on board with respecting the actual filmmaking that went into that and the craft that went into that movie. I'm a little baffled by every craft was done right, but not the directing. I just think that's very strange.
Absolutely wild. Okay, Jessica Chastain won Best Lead Actress for The Eyes of Tammy Faye, a not very good movie with a very committed performance at its center.
Committed indeed. Did not like the movie.
One for Jessica Chastain, also one for hair and makeup, the two best things in the film. So there you go.
Yes,
the two
perfect.
Were hand in hand. Best Supporting Actress was Ariana DeBose for West Side Story. I think a richly deserved win with a, I thought, beautiful speech.
Beautiful speech.
So to anybody who has ever questioned your identity, ever, 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 or find yourself living in the gray spaces, I promise you this, there is indeed a place for us. Thank you to the Academy, and thank you all.
Nice to see her, except in the same room as Rita Moreno, who, in addition to having been in this version of West Side Story, obviously also won an Oscar for playing Anita several decades ago. That did seem like a nice circle closing moment. Yeah.
So Best Animated Feature, I think not surprisingly, was Encanto, leading a, I thought, very distinguished field. Best International Feature was Drive My Car. And we mentioned Best Documentary Feature, that was Summer of Soul. Flea was nominated in all three categories and sadly went 0 for 3. I really hope people seek out Flea.
Yeah. kind of knew that might happen. I think everybody felt like there were other favorites in those categories, but I agree. It's a good movie.
Best Original Screenplay went to Kenneth Branagh for Belfast, which seemed like a little bit of a surprise. That's actually Kenneth Branagh's first Oscar win, even though he's been nominated a bunch of times in a bunch of different categories.
That might have been the first surprise of the evening, the first real one. Good for Kenneth Branagh. I mean, he's been paying his dues.
Yeah, no, that's a fine movie. To me, it's like Belfast, fine. Belfast, fine. Kenneth Branagh, fine.
Yeah.
All right, so Best Original Song went to No Time to Die by Billie Eilish and Finneas. This denied Lin-Manuel Miranda his coveted EGOT. What did you guys think of the musical performances in general? The show opened with Beyoncé, then we got two songs from Encanto, plus Billie Eilish and Reba McEntire.
Well, I'm sorry, but the We Don't Talk About Bruno song was a mess. Like, it was kind of all over the place, and they added Megan Thee Stallion, who, look, I love Meg, but I didn't need that. And it just felt like a cacophony of big, flashy stuff that didn't really coalesce around the song itself. Like, what makes the song good and all the storytelling that's happening was lost in the shuffle of all the pomp and circumstance that was happening on stage.
Yeah, I'm talking all money. Believe I'm up next. I'm coming for that gold. You can add it to my shelf. Academy Award. Oh, no. It's time for the show. Young team slow. Don't talk about who know. Ah.
Yeah, that was kind of mystifying because you have the number one song in all the land and you decide that you're going to change the second and third verses to be about the Oscars. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I think kicking off the telecast with Beyonce, every time an awards show starts with Beyonce, man, you're setting a bar that is very, very hard to clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels so good. Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite song, but I thought the production of that number was great. She was performing on a tennis court in Compton. She was decked in all, like, was it green, yellow? It was like a neon colors, all the dancers and the performers. And it was fun. I appreciated it. And it was definitely a highlight. And like you said, Stephen, maybe shouldn't have started with that. Maybe should have had that somewhere a little bit later in the evening for people to get more happy.
We have not really talked too much about the hosts. This show was hosted by Regina Hall, Amy Schumer, and Wanda Sykes, who kind of came out together and then were often presented separately over the course of the night to kind of spread things around. What did you guys think?
I liked some of the jokes. You know, not necessarily every actual dig they made at people, but there was a joke in there about Leonardo DiCaprio.
And I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, what can I even say about him? He's done so much to fight climate change and leave behind a cleaner, greener planet for his girlfriends.
So that refers to, you know, him dating a lot of women who are a lot younger than he is. And it reminded me a lot of the Amy Poehler and Tina Fey joke at the Golden Globes a few years ago about George Clooney in Gravity, mm-hmm. demonstrating that he would rather float off into space than spend time with a woman his own age. Those kinds of jokes to me are pokey, but they're not like super mean. And they hit kind of the sweet spot for me. There were a couple of references to things like, you know, watching Power of the Dog 3 times and being almost through it. I did think some of the jokes were funny. Again, it's hard to sort of put it in perspective because it all got so overshadowed by the direction of the evening.
Yeah, look, these three performers are pros. They are natural hosts. They just all felt very comfortable in their skin up there in a way that I think other hosts might want to kind of rush through, which might be one reason why the evening seemed kind of unhurried just in general.
Oh, God. Yes. For all the time they tried to save by editing in the production categories they didn't include in the live broadcast, this show still clocked in at almost 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, you had to get 28 years of Pulp Fiction. You had to get that anniversary in.
You had to acknowledge the 28th anniversary of Pulp Fiction.
I mean, it is an anniversary. Look, an anniversary is an anniversary, but it's not a round number. Why are we celebrating the 28th anniversary of anything?
Even the 15-year anniversary of Juno, I was like, really? Like, yeah. 15 feels, you know, you're stretching it.
I mean, I'm surprised we haven't done an episode of this show about the 30th anniversary of White Men Can't Jump.
I will say I didn't care for the Regina Hall bit that was about kind of casting her as this, like, desperately thirsty,
horny single woman.
Single woman. I was like, what?
So before we go on with the show, we just have to do some quick emergency testing backstage. Don't worry. It's only a few people. It's totally random. If you hear your name, I'm going to start with Bradley Cooper. Timothy Chalamet.
She sold it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't like that joke if the joke was a guy doing a COVID test by feeling up women. And I didn't particularly care for that as a joke to have her do either. I'm not going to lie. I didn't care for it. But I think she's wonderful. And I think Wanda Sykes and Amy Schumer were both very well used in this. So, I don't know. They were fine.
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 That's the assessment.
I felt it was uneven, but I felt that the whole evening was uneven. Very kind of shapeless and padded and all the talk of how they were going to streamline the show, they kind of sort of really didn't. But that's the Oscars. We want to know what you think about this year's Oscars at Imagine People Have Thoughts. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Linda Holmes, Glenn Weldon, Aisha Harris, thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. This episode was produced very late at night by Mike Katzeff and edited very late at night by Jessica Reedy. And Hello Come In provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.